The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Hey, I got this mark coming up to me when I'm trying to leave this place. I've made God knows how much money off of these fat losers on merch money, on my fee. And right now you are listening to just another reason why I get paid as this guy hands me a 50. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you and you know it. And you are listening to the Shining Wizards podcast, unfortunately.
I have a small dick.
God damn. Woo!
We are back Tuesday night, September 11th. Hopefully you are having a good day and you can take these 2 hours out of your busy schedule to unwind and forget about the real world, especially on a day like today, and listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We're in Studio B, Shining Wizards Matt, Shining Wizards Kevin, talking all things professional wrestling, and we have a little last-minute phoning guest. We got Aiden, I got to look at this cat's name, Aiden Agro. He is a third of the Main State Posse.
Street Posse? Street Posse?
Oh, the Main State Posse.
You have Main Street Posse here.
Oh, it's Main State Posse. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
The Mean Street Posse, the Main Street Posse.
That's what I thought it was a playoff of, the Main Street Posse.
But it's the Main State Posse. That's my bad. That's my typo.
Yep.
It's an easy confusion.
Yeah, I suppose.
Main Street, Main State.
It just doesn't really say much about us, though, not knowing the name of our guest.
Well, it's typed up here, and there's a lot going on before the show happens. There's a lot of research. There's a lot of setup.
Can I just say real quick off that liner what a mean man MJF is?
Yeah.
Just a jerk.
Worst $50 we ever spent.
Oh my God. Brutal. Thought I was going to give you the brother rate. Didn't even get the good brother rate. Nothing. What a mean man.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Goes all in, goes back to WrestlePro and treats me like garbage.
I mean, it's not to be.
I am garbage?
No, it's not to be expected. I mean, it's not like MJF has this track record of being like an upstanding citizen.
That's a good point.
So it's not a surprise that he was a fucking dirtbag.
Ah, man, what a mean liner.
When he reaches the apex of the world of professional wrestling, though, it will be the best $50 we've ever spent because we have a liner from him.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Is that Rick Rackman?
Yeah, that's Rick Rackman. We got WCW Saturday Night on the TV before SmackDown starts. We got Aiden Agro from the Main State Posse calling at 8 o'clock. Talk a little Limitless Wrestling and the stuff that the Main State Posse has been doing. And, of course, we have a whole slew of professional wrestling to talk about. Kevin is fully decked out in his pro wrestling garb. He's got the clothesline hoodie and then the brand new WrestlePro shirt or hat, excuse me.
Stretch fit hat, WrestlePROonline.com. Go get yours.
Toolbox. You are a toolbox. You love shilling their shit, huh?
Gotta shill. Why not? Because
they shill our shit.
Well.
They don't. It's okay. Everybody knows it. It's a fact. But I'm surprised to see you with the stretch fit because I know you're such a fan of the snapback.
I was a stretch fit guy before the snapback guy, but then snapbacks kind of took a life of their own. And then I became a snapback guy, but I still have I have a lot of Devil stretch fit hats. I have a lot of Yankee stretch fit hats, Jets stretch fit hats. So I do like the snapbacks, collecting NHL snapbacks at the moment right now.
I prefer the stretch fit.
I like the snapbacks. I think the snapbacks are more fashionable, I guess you can say, where I'm out, as opposed to the stretch fit, which is like if I go to a game, I'll wear a stretch fit.
Okay. Okay.
So, but if I go out to the bar or to meet someone, I can wear the snapback. Stretch fit, I don't really like too much.
Well, if you're looking to meet somebody, you probably shouldn't wear a hat.
Nah, you're probably right. But I don't play by the rules, Matt.
That's fair enough. It is a nice looking hat. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good hat.
Oh, is he the front? Sorry, I didn't mean that. You could just turn your head. You don't have to take it off.
That's a good point.
All right. Gold and silver. I dig it. It's going backwards now. Oh, you had the look.
I thought it was gold and purple for a second.
Oh, no, I mean, it could be...
It's gold and silver. Okay. I guess probably just to play off their gold and silver championships. Perhaps.
Indeed. And you were there Friday night.
That's right.
The Gold Rush Rumble.
Sure was.
Which Chris Payne walked out. Gold Rush Rumble winner.
Yeah, he did.
That is quite...
That was funny.
That's quite interesting in the world of the WrestlePro.
Now he's got
Chris Avery Kuehling is still the WrestlePro Gold Champion, yes?
Yes.
So now Chris Payne, he has a shot at that whenever he wants, or is it like a set? Is it like a Money in the Bank?
That I don't know. I know the medallion was like Money in the Bank right. For the Silver Championship, which Nikos Rikos cashed in on Dan Moff and beat him. But I don't know if you win the Rumble, I don't know if it's... I think they might just set a date for the...
Like you sign a contract and then it's
maybe.
This date.
I'm not even really sure how that works.
Well, fair enough. Congratulations to Chris Payne. How was the WrestlePro show? I know Danny Moff, PCO, was a big deal. MJF and Teddy Hart were also there. And then there was that four-way tag match for the WrestlePro Tag Team Championship.
It was not a four-way tag Tag Team Championship. It was
Card subject to change. Man.
It was just a tag match between... Team España and
Breakfast Club, Bodies.
Breakfast Club.
All right. Oh, because LAX was in England for that Impact versus UK thing.
I wasn't sure if it was because I know Ortiz just had a kid, so I wasn't sure if that was why, but then I saw them posting stuff from England, so I guess that was why. I don't know where the Bodies were, though. But
I know Fala worked
Texas
right?
RCW the next
day. That's crazy. Overall, how was the show?
It was good. Mario Bocarat made his return.
Oh, that's excellent.
In the Gold Rush Rumble. It was super fun. I didn't have to really do anything that night until, which is fun because I got to sit back and watch the show, have a few beers, and just watch the show as a fan for the first time in a long time.
Did you watch from behind the curtain or did you sit out in the crowd?
To the side of the curtain.
Okay.
Because I was still doing some stuff. Like when the Rumble came around, like, I didn't really trust the Wyatts running it time-wise, so I kind of just helped out with the timing of the entries and stuff like that. And then it's just so funny when shit just happens. There was a time where there was only one thing that was, like, wrong with it. Craven was out there for, like, a minute with nobody out there.
Just by himself?
Just by himself. So
like Stone Cold Steve Austin style?
Basically.
All right.
So, but, yeah, it was a good time, man. Super fun show. Some surprises in the Rumble. DJ Hyde was in the Rumble.
Really?
That's
quite a surprise indeed.
He and Pat Buck had a square off, but were both unceremoniously eliminated. Like I said, Mario came back. Starman made his return.
Oh.
And so did the lifeguard, Mike Dell.
I saw the Mike Dell on the Twitter. Yes, good for him.
Yeah, so he was back. Legit popped me super hard. He was actually one of the, when I walked in the back, he was one of the first people that I saw. So I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So glad to have Mike Dell back in the WrestlePro bubble, if you will.
All right, cool.
So, yeah. Overall, good show. Nico Stricos dressed up as a paramedic to help them off after his match. And then slammed him with his medical kit and then cashed in the silver.
Well, that's pretty clever.
Yeah.
I like that.
To be honest with you, I didn't notice it. I didn't know it was him the first time until I heard what was going to be happening in the match. So I saw the EMT backstage. I mean, I saw Nikos prior, and then I saw this guy walking around. Didn't even think it was the same guy. So no one in the crowd did either.
Like, oh, that's awesome.
Like the EMTs came. But it also sucked because people started to file out.
Okay.
Because they thought it was over. You know, Moff was hurt. These guys were checking on him. But then once he slammed them, people just kind of stood still.
Did PCO beat Moff? I guess not if Moff was the champion, right?
Yeah.
How was PCO?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, they were crazy. They had like cinder blocks and shit out there. Like,
was Destro with them?
I would definitely, if you haven't already, I'm not sure if it's on demand. I believe it's on demand. You can go onto the Fight app and or Fight.tv and watch WrestlePro Gold Rush Rumble and watch PCO versus Dan Moff, Teddy Hart versus
MJF.
MJF.
How was that?
Fun.
Teddy Hart have his cats.
He had Mr. Money. He didn't bring Mr. Money to the ringside though.
I completely forgot that it was on Fight TV. I would have watched it today because I watched a shitload of wrestling from the time I woke up.
Yeah. But you would have had time too. It wasn't that long of a show.
Yeah, like I said, if I had remembered that it was on.
I mean, I think it still is.
Oh, definitely. It probably definitely still is. I just I was actually looking for results too because I knew we were going to talk about it. Not the easiest results to find. I found out that Chris Payne won the Rumble.
Well, I think they kind of didn't want people to find them just because they wanted them. Well, when I was doing a little bit of the tweeting from the show, I didn't put results because I'm like, go to Fight, watch it, find out. So maybe that's what they were playing. They didn't want to give away results.
Oh, I mean, I found them, but it's not the easiest. I mean, there's a CZW is very hard to find results too as well.
Right.
You know, some companies more than others. I don't know why.
Well, it all depends. Like, if the company doesn't do it, it's got to be someone there doing a live report from it.
And we know how that goes.
Yeah. So if WrestlePro didn't want results given out because they wanted people to watch and download the pay-per-view, I totally get that.
Sure.
You don't?
I guess. No, I get it. But you can't stop somebody from tweeting out the results.
No, you can't stop. But I'm saying they didn't put anything out.
Right.
Like, WrestlePro didn't go down and say who won this and that.
Right.
So I see why they didn't, but I see what you're saying too.
They're not very good on social media, so shame on them.
All right.
Shame on you, social media. Pick up your game, guys. Come on. Any after party excitement? I know you're. I know you hang out at the bar with the boys.
Yeah, everyone.
You
out
sent
after.
Us. You said you were sitting between MJF and Teddy Hart.
No, just Teddy Hart was there. With a couple, he was there before I got there. So he was there and still in full like shiny blue
That's
gear.
That's fucking awesome.
And I met a friend. She's a huge wrestling fan there, and she was a big Teddy Hart mark. So she was kind of starstruck.
Nice.
So I was hanging out with her for the most part, and then went over and when everyone came in and hung out. So yeah, good time. Nothing crazy.
Cool.
Just sucks. The bar closed. I hate it. I hate the Friday shows, not because of WrestlePro, but because the bar stays open an extra hour later on Saturday.
Do they really?
Yeah. On Friday, they close at 2. Saturday, they're allowed to stay open until 3. So, like, if we don't get out of there till like, I mean, I got out of there super early because I didn't have shit to do.
Right.
Like, I help out a little bit here and there, but usually it's just help out Eddie, book, get out. But,
who?
But no, so I got out really quick, went back to the hotel, took a shower, and then went there. And, had a decent amount of time, but say, look, you don't get out of there until, like, 12, right?
Right.
And then you don't have all that much time to partake in the extracurriculars. So, but no, it was a good time. What's his name from America's Top Team was there? John Hartnett?
I'm not up on my
MMA. He's a guy that always played like he was hurt on, always had the cast on and the neck brace on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He was in the Rumble.
Good House?
Yeah. I mean, not, they've done better.
Okay.
But it wasn't anything to shake your head out. They probably still drew more than a lot of other independent companies. But yeah, good times. Tommy Dreamer, Craig Steele.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was what you would expect Tommy Dreamer versus Craig Steele to be.
All right, cool. Very good.
It was fun. Craig, big deal, got the win with a nice little sit down spine buster on a chair on the old Tommy Dreamer.
All right, good. So, cool.
Yeah, good times.
Very good. Where do you want to start, Kevin?
You're going to have to tell me.
Really?
Yeah. What do you want to start?
I could start anywhere, man. I watched a lot of wrestling
today.
What
did you watch?
I watched Impact. I watched the UK versus Impact. I watched Monday Night Raw, and I watched Ring of Honor TV.
All right. You did watch a lot of wrestling.
I watched a lot of football on Sunday and yesterday, so I had to. I had a day off Sunday because of the rain.
All right.
I actually got to enjoy football. And then I was off last night and today, so I had a lot of free time.
Oh, God, yeah. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I would have, too. But yesterday I was totally in football mode, so I didn't really watch
anything. Rightfully so.
I didn't really watch anything other than the Jets game, and then, of course, after that, the Rams-Raiders game. So I was fully ensconced in football this weekend, so I didn't really get to see a whole lot of stuff. I caught up on Raw today. But that's really it.
Then we will start with Monday Night Raw. As I said, Thursday night when we recorded at the Brown Bear Pub, 104 Harrison Avenue in West Orange. Please check out the Brown Bear Pub. They're great people down there. WWE just is not doing it for me, man. I watched Raw the first thing I did this morning after I woke up and dropped my car off to get a little oil change was watch some Monday Night Raw on the DVR. And I watched it all. God, I watched it all, and it felt like time was frozen.
Is it just me, or is Braun Strowman actually regressing in his promos?
I don't mind the Braun Strowman stuff, to be honest
with
you.
No, I like that. I like the Shield versus them, but I'm just saying it seems like since he became a heel again, it's just not – I find his delivery incredibly, incredibly not good.
It's hard to say. I don't feel like he is the leader of that clan.
I think he is.
I don't think he is. I think it's going to end up being Drew McIntyre. I know they're setting it up that way, but I just get the feeling that Drew is the mastermind or behind this. And I think because we've seen this Roman Reigns Braun Strowman feud so much in the last 2 years. I think after Hell in the Cell, I think we're going to see a Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns run.
I hope so.
I don't know if he's...
Even though I'm not really getting a whole main eventer vibe out of Drew McIntyre either.
No?
Nah. I don't know why. I mean, none of them really. Except for Braun, I guess. And of course, Roman.
Yeah, I just think it's hard because I think they're still battling with people cheering him.
Who, Braun?
Braun. Especially when they put him in there with just Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah. Forget about it.
You talked about it last week. When Roman Reigns was the first out of the ambulance, people were poo-pooing it. Then once he lets the rest of the Shield out, people go apeshit crazy.
Yeah. But going back, I think that... I mean, I don't see a... maybe I do. A Drew McIntyre-Roman Reigns run.
But I mean,
you don't think we're going to get a series of battles between Ziggler and Drew against Rollins and Ambrose?
I don't know. But, I mean, there's a lot of weird things going on Monday Night Raw. Firstly, last night you opened the show as Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre in the ring. Oh, congratulations to Renee Young, who is now a permanent part of Monday Night Raw. I've never been in that position. I've never been a commentator.
You've never been a woman?
Never been a woman, but man, she was pretty bad yesterday.
I said that the first time. I wasn't a big fan. I was very excited for her. I thought she was good on NXT, but I wasn't the biggest fan of her.
Yeah, I was not. I was not. not really into her at all last night, being part of the commentary team. But here's what I found interesting. You have these your three main heels in the ring, and then outside the ring is Elias, Kevin Owens, Jinder Mahal, one of his little lackeys, AOP, The Ascension, Drew Gulak, and Mojo Rawley. That's not really a strong heel presence on the Monday Night Raw brand.
Well, Kevin Owens, Jinder, AOP are giants.
See, now AOP is weird because I don't know if they're faces or heels because of the stuff that they're doing with Drake Maverick.
Well, I'd think they're heels if they were out in that little group. Didn't they just squash two jabronis?
Yeah, they squashed two Wildcat guys.
Oh, they were Wildcat guys?
They were Wildcat guys, and I don't know if you noticed when Braun Strowman was assaulting people backstage. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw him throw a water bottle that nailed somebody in the back of the head.
When he picked up the small Asian man, was past guest Buku Dao.
Ah, Buku Dao. I did not see that.
I don't know. It's just like there's not, you know, going back to the who's going to wrestle Roman Reigns for the title. I mean, outside the three guys in the ring, maybe you throw Kevin Owens in there.
Kevin, is anyone hurt on the shelf that's coming back?
Not that I can think
maybe
of.
Maybe now that Bray Wyatt and that Matt Hardy's retired, maybe Bray Wyatt gets put back in that spot.
Bray Wyatt went away. He said he was going away after he like screen capped the post of the best factions.
Oh, and what? And he wasn't on it?
Yeah, and he said he was going away. So someone said he cut his hair.
Uh-oh.
But I don't know if there's any truth to that. I know he hasn't been on TV. And it feels like they're trying to rebuild the tag team division on Raw.
Eh?
Well, AOP is getting their push with Drake Maverick. They're really behind this Bobby Roode, Chad Gable thing.
Oh, my God. Ah! Stop! Just stop!
Is it the fact that they can't find Chad Gable a partner, or this is what we're doing with Bobby Roode?
This is what we're doing with Bobby Roode. And it makes no sense. Why did you split up American Alpha? Why? Now, if you bring Jason Jordan back and put him in with them, I'll be okay with that.
Would you?
Oh, Jason Jordan's going to feud with Roman Reigns.
I was just going to say, what would you think of him interfering in the Hell in the Cell?
I'd have to see it to like actually get a feel
for it.
Because I can see it being good and bad.
Because he's due back anytime soon. I just feel like they don't have a strong heel presence. I think it's those guys.
I'd rather see maybe not a repackage, but a different looking Bray and Roman. I think that would be better. But Jason Jordan, I can see doing it too. Bring back Kurt Angle.
I guess maybe. I mean, Baron Corbin's a heel too, but he doesn't really wrestle anymore.
Yeah,
I was just very.
And that's a bad character.
I don't like it at all. Just to have them out there last night, around the ring, you're just kind of looking around. The results I pulled off of Meltzer's website too. They said Kanellis was out there.
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see him.
He was there in the beatdown last week, and he was out there last week.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's frustrating because you want to see, you know, I would love to see Mike out there doing something.
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect to Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder and whoever else is on the main event, like, find a fucking spot for these guys. Like, maybe they're content with what they're doing, but, like, Mike Kanellis, you know, Mike Bennett, he was like a fucking indie darling. He was a New Japan pro wrestling tag champion.
He had a lot of things that went against him pretty quickly. The addiction problem. Not that it's a bad thing, but Maria being pregnant.
Right. Well, then she got hurt.
Then she got hurt again. So I'm sure once she comes back, if they decide to put them back together, hopefully they do.
But can't you give him like a gimmick where like he's out there and he's losing without her? Because that was like, he was like Miss Kanellis, like,
yeah.
And then she finally if she's not healthy and she can't work, maybe at least she could be there as a mouthpiece until she's ready to go and at least give him something to do.
Maybe they will when she gets back. Maybe she's just not in any position to do anything.
Except make a baby. She's fucking hot.
She is hot. She's a hot box of rocks.
So that's how they started Raw off. It was just looking outside the ring. It was kind of like, I don't know. Just didn't feel like, it's like these guys can't fucking hold off anybody.
Yeah, but it's the Shield.
I get it, but can't it?
But the axe handles.
Well, the axe handles came out once they got over the guardrail. They couldn't walk to the ring with the axe handles.
I don't know why they didn't.
Right?
No, I get it. I mean, I'm with you.
I'm watching last night. Like, I'm behind the Shield versus these guys. Like, I can get behind that.
Do you remember when like this gimmick that they would always pull out of their hat? Where like say like John Cena's feuding with Randy Orton. So they make John Cena and Randy Orton team up to take on, like, the entire... And I remember... Let's see if you can look it up. It's John Cena and Randy Orton versus the entire Raw roster. It's Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Brian Kendrick, like, Trevor Murdoch, and Lance Cade. I think the only two, like, credible guys... Like, your Kevin Owens and Jinder Mahal are Umaga and JBL. And then just look at David Hart Smith, jobber version of David Hart Smith pre Hart Dynasty. Who else was on that? Hardcore Holly, Cody Rhodes pre awesome Cody Rhodes.
All right, I'll kind of close on that. I think I found it, Kev. All right, we got a lot of questions on this website here. Oh, it's just like the full match.
Yeah, see like when they do the entrances, see when they come out, see who. Actually, I would be shocked if you could even name all of them.
Let's see here. 15-plus superstars. John Cena and Randy Orton. All right, we got Randy Orton's intro. He's got the belt. When was this?
I want to say like 2009, 2011, 10, something like that.
All right, we got a Randy Orton entrance here. Let's fast forward through this. Gives the belt to the referee. Here comes John. He's happy. He's excited. He's running around like a fucking mook. All right, he throws up the...
You can't play the audio?
All right. Well, I thought I was going to name the guys as they came out.
Oh, okay.
Or try.
I don't think they mention anyone, really.
All right.
You can name... You'll be able to know who they are, I think.
Well, here comes the opposition. All right, we got Umaga... We got Hardcore Holly, Cody, some big white-looking dude.
Snitsky.
The Snitsky. Oh, God, Brian Kendrick, Carlito, Santino, Jack Swagger is there. There's Snitsky. Super Crazy. Wow, that's fucking rando. Oh, Val Venus.
But, like...
Jesus Christ. Ted DiBiase Jr., maybe? The Highlanders?
That's you got to remember where these guys are, where their position was on the card at this point.
Okay. That's fine.
I think this is a little better than that.
JBL?
JBL, like I said, JBL and Umaga were like the
Carlito only... Cool?
Yeah, but Carlito was nowhere near where he was when he first came in like 2005.
Who's got the mic? Oh, no. Snitsky's going to start. Wow, this is...
You didn't see Hacksaw out there?
No, not, yeah, there he is. He's standing, I think, was that MVP standing next to? What is this? Holy shnikes. This is before WrestleMania 24.
What year was that?
Let me fucking just turn the volume off on this. Get out of here. Wow, that's... Jeez Louise. 24 is 2008.
So yeah, this was 2008, yeah.
Wow.
Like that's bad, like, and you got to really put it in perspective. Like if I was going to compare him, like you're Mike Kanellis, Brian Kendrick is like your Mike Kanellis. Like
all right, I guess so. I mean,
this was like this was a weird time in Brian Kendrick's career. He was like just about he was split with Paul London, but he wasn't the Brian Kendrick yet. He was like this little weird period where he was just wearing like weird jackets and like weird purple. Oh, Vladimir Kozlov. Paul Burchill.
Like, yeah.
You gotta remember,
a lot of just randos.
This was Job Central and Umaga and JBL. That's Charlie Haas, too. That's not Jack Swagger. That's Charlie Haas.
Now, was... I can't believe I do a wrestling podcast. So I'm going to ask this. Was there a brand split? Like, was there... at this time, there was a separate group in the SmackDown, right?
That's a good question. I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I just feel like... Okay, like, those guys have their role, right? Fair enough.
That was, like, the entire... That was the show. Like, those guys, Randy, and maybe, like, Kofi Kingston was around, too. Maybe.
I just... It's weird. Like...
Like, they say it's the entire Raw. That's sad.
Yeah, I agree with
no
that.
No disrespect to any of these guys. Everyone knows how big of a fan I am of a lot of these guys. Fucking Kendrick and Charlie Haas. And... I mean, I guess that's really it. Cody. Cody.
That's weird. It's so weird.
Like, these guys are job. Like, David Hart Smith was never on TV. Ever. He was Sunday really? Night. He was Sunday Night Heat.
Material?
Fixture.
All right. All right. I don't know. Just seeing all these guys there and then, like, your three top heat faces. And then your three top heels. And then you're kind of like, all right, well, there's only... so many mixing and matching you could do with those six guys that when it runs its course, you can't do another Shield turn, can you?
Probably.
I mean, it's inevitable. And,
I mean,
you know,
they're not all going to be baby faces forever.
That's true.
At least you would think they wouldn't. Never really know.
That's true.
But if Randy Orton can turn heel in 2018, then I guess.
Anyone can?
Yeah.
Fair enough. So there's a, they come out, they run their gums, the Shield shows up, they beat down all the guys outside the ring, the heels, Strowman and company, they book it up the ramp and say, fuck this noise, we're not dealing with you three guys. Baron Corbin is backstage, there's a segment there where he tells them he doesn't want them arrested, to put the axe handles down, just leave without having any consequences. So there's that. Fucking the Bellas are back.
They sure are.
I get it. Evolution is coming. Great. Congratulations.
It's a mystery.
The
Evolution is a mystery.
Nikki Bella beat Ruby Riott. Whatever. Because the Riott Squad like drew all over their dressing room or some goofy shit.
Ruby Riott.
Yeah. Nikki hit the Rack Attack 2.0.
That's the Widow's Peak, right? That was Victoria.
Yeah. 2.0, though. I don't know when it became 2.0.
Probably.
Because it's just because she got bigger boobs.
So they're on SmackDown, too? Because I'm seeing here Brie Bella takes on Maryse tonight.
Yeah.
Or square off.
Yeah. That's a fucking barn burner, too.
Oh, that feud?
We could talk about that later. Drake, Matt, like we said, the Authors of Pain, they beat up two kids with the Super Collider. So they're clearly pushing AOP. With Drake Maverick. Drake was not in a little outfit.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he wasn't a matching outfit. He had a black gimmick on.
I watched today. It looked like he was in the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Wearing the exact same thing that AOP was wearing.
When he was backstage, this tells you how much I was paying attention to what was happening. When he was backstage, he just had a blank black tank top. Jesus Christ. A black tank top on. When he came out to the ring, he beats me. You could be 100% right. I really wasn't interested in this at all.
Yeah.
Triple H came out and he fucking bored me to death with the promo.
Yep.
Just not a fan of what they're doing. Again, I'm trying to be positive, trying to look at the bright side. I get it. They're trying to push the network and this big Australian pay-per-view. But, man, this is just, as I talked about it last week, it's not doing it for me.
It's in Australia? I thought it was in it's Australia.
Yeah,
it
Melbourne. Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre retain against the B-team. I hate the B-team. Great.
It's like, look at the, like, you're going through these matches and, like, you have, and then, like, we're not seeing anything better than what was outside that, the guys that are outside that ring.
Right.
Kevin Owens, Tyler Breeze. you know, fucking B team.
B team.
So it's like there's really no.
There's nothing.
Like, the shield, it's like the top six.
And then it's
then
like
everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And then
what a
everyone
drop
else. I mean, all Kevin Owens, Lashley, whatever. If you want to put them up, I think they're a little tier above them.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
immediately after the match, Ambrose and Rollins attack. And they, I guess they got cute because the shield couldn't come back in. But when Rollins and Ambrose attacked, they changed out of their shield gear.
Right.
Into their t-shirt gear.
Straight street clothes, main street clothes.
But they still have their tights on.
Did they?
Yeah. Wow. So it's like in the action figure world. You get the shield three-pack, and then you can get like the individual where they're not in their shield gear. They were not in their shield gear.
Fuck.
They showed clips of Undertaker and Mick Foley from Hell in a Cell. 20 years. So there's that. Kevin Owens, Tyler Breeze didn't even happen. Kevin Owens beat the piss out of him. And the story they're going with here is that he was begged to come back to Raw, which answers all my questions from Thursday night. He's begged to come back to Raw, but he can do whatever he wants now. So this might, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this too. What you're doing with the Shield and Strowman and those guys. It's cool. And Owens being in this dickhead heel where he's just going to do what he wants. I can get behind that.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, we touched upon Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. They beat the Ascension. And then we go cut backstage. Ziggler is complaining to McIntyre and Strowman. Corbin shows up. Corbin wants to make this the best first pay-per-view that he's done. Hell in the Cell is 6 days away. 5 days as we're recording this. So he wants to make tag match for the tag titles.
So Hell in a Cell is this Sunday?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's what I said. I've fucking turned gas over
here. That is gassy.
Cutting a rug over here, making Tony Z look like a chump.
So him to shame.
He names a tag match Rollins and Ambrose against McIntyre and Ziggy's. And then he said Stephanie McMahon wants Braun Strowman to destroy Roman Reigns, and then Strowman, excuse me, hits us with his awesome promo where he says he's going big dog hunting.
Big dog hunting?
Big dog hunting, baby.
Man.
Come and get some. There's a women's tag match.
Hey, Matt is putting his hand over his face like he is. Like he's disgusted or like he just doesn't or he really hates something. Or...
I'm sure it's been done already, right? Them warming up, like that little, like before they go to commercial, yeah. They show them warming up. Look like they were dancing in like a club. Like if someone put like club music behind that, it'd be hysterical. Ronda Rousey and Natty. Ronda is like throwing like.
Yeah, the punches.
And then Natty is just, I don't know what she's doing. So they have a tag match against Alexa Bliss and Mickey James with Alicia Fox. Mickey James looks like she's getting younger and younger. It's really weird.
Yeah. She's fighting Lita at that Evolution thing.
Yes. I was punched out of this match because I could care less about it. I can't tell you if it was good or bad. I just don't have any interest in it. Ronda Rousey won. She put Mickey James in an armbar. And then Alexa Bliss.
Armbar!
Alexa Bliss sidekicked the shit out of her after the match. Kicked her right in her ribberoos.
Nice.
So that was that. Elias is going to do something. Roman Reigns is walking around backstage screaming like a psycho. So he beats up our friend Buku Dao.
Buku Dao.
Elias came out. He gets the heat. He calls New Orleans a piece of shit. He says Drew Brees is a terrible quarterback. And this brings out Mick Foley. If you are a young wrestler in this wrestling business and you want to learn how to do a fucking promo, Mick Foley still cuts a fucking awesome promo.
Yeah.
He knows when it gets loud. He knows when to simmer down.
Simmer down now.
It definitely wasn't written for him. There's no fucking way. And if it was, that's even more power to him for turning it into an awesome promo. He has got the fire. He looks amazing.
Does look good.
He looks great. Lost all that weight doing that DDP yoga. And it comes out that he's going to be the guest referee for Hell in a Cell with Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns. And if you can remember back to when he was the GM of Raw, he's got a little bit of a history of Braun Strowman. Because that's right around when Braun was going fucking butt-shit crazy and killing everybody. So
butt-shit crazy.
That could factor
in. Did you mean to say that?
Butt-shit crazy?
Instead of bat-shit crazy?
No, butt-shit crazy.
You actually meant butt-shit crazy.
I did butt-shit crazy.
All right.
We're going butt-shit crazy, people, over
here. Butt-shit crazy.
So there was that. And then he made, before he left, one match, Finn Balor and Elias. And up until this point, I completely forgot that Finn Balor was on Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
While we're having our conversation about top guys and heel guys, baby faces, all that shit. So they got
sad.
That. They got that going for
sad.
Us. It was nice to see Leo Rush on Monday Night Raw.
That's weird.
I think he's going to be... I think it's going to be like that... You know the cartoons with the big muscular dog and then the little small dog? And he's like, tell him, get him.
Oh, like Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah.
The most famous cartoon of all time, basically, in a nutshell.
Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo, you think is the most famous cartoon?
The Adventures of Scooby-Doo? And you don't think that's one of the most iconic cartoons ever?
No.
Shows?
No.
Are you serious?
Yes. The words iconic came out of your mouth, and I don't think... Not even close.
When they had, oh my god, the Globetrotters on Scooby-Doo and...
Scooby-Doo maybe. Scrappy-Doo, no.
Oh, well, I'm just talking about regular Scooby-Doo. I'm talking about the Scooby-Doo show. Or
you said Scrappy-Doo,
called.
Too.
Yeah, but because there was never a show called Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo.
Thank god. Scrappy-Doo was the shits.
What?
I hated Scrappy-Doo.
You know there were other dudes as well. You know that, right?
Of course. There was a female dude.
There was a dumb dude. I forget what the dumb dude was.
This podcast,
and then this is what people want to hear, man. They want to hear about what? Give me like five cartoons that you think are more iconic than Scooby Doo. I'll give you Looney Tunes right off
the
bat.
Looney Tunes, Mickey Mouse,
like what? Like the Mickey Mouse Club? Like what? Like he like there was no like Adventures of Mickey Mouse.
There
was
sure
just, like,
there was.
They were just like shorts, like Looney Tunes, like a bunch of Looney Tunes.
It's a cartoon,
yeah. All right, I'll do that. What else? Tom and Jerry.
Yes, Tom and Jerry's up there. That might be it, man. I really don't put Scooby-Doo up there. I'm sure there's more, and I just can't.
And the Flintstones.
Okay. Props to the Flintstones.
And then you could put Scooby-Doo in there, or the Jetsons, or whoever you want. I think it's top 10.
Top 10, sure.
Of all time?
Maybe. Of all time?
Of all the times. Even modern day.
What?
I don't really watch a whole lot of cartoons. I started watching I don't know, people are probably going to say I'm crazy because I never watched this before. I watched an episode of the Bob's Burgers the other day.
Bob's Burgers is fucking amazing.
It's pretty good.
It's amazing.
I might have to binge watch Bob's Burgers.
It's the way to go.
It's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Where I don't even know where we were.
We were talking about
how Leo Rush.
How Leo Rush is
Leo Rush is like, no, Scrappy Doo's, there's the Looney Tunes cartoon where there's the big dog. Right? And then he's got the little dog, and the little dog is like his mouthpiece. I think that's what they're going for.
I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the big rooster and the chicken hawk?
No.
Like Foghorn Leghorn?
No, I'm not talking about that, no.
Huh.
Spike and something else.
Spike, that sounds right, actually.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they're going for, where Leo Rush is like the annoying one. He motivated Bobby Lashley.
So is he still a bad guy?
I don't know what he is, man. This weird thing where they're putting these 205, like Drake
That's
Maverick.
So fucking random.
Yeah, like Drake, he was like, he's the GM of 205 Live. He kind of like calls down the middle, but now he's like the mouthpiece for AOP.
And so now Leo Rush is off 205 Live?
I don't know. We'll have to watch 205 Live tonight. I mean, what do you choose, Kevin? 205 Live or Mixed Max Challenge? Because that's back.
Oh, well, whatever that is. That's fine. Is what it is. It's not. I don't think they really care too much about it.
Are you fucking kidding me? Did you fast forward through all the fucking shitty commercials last night?
I literally just watched. I went on YouTube and and clicked Raw highlights.
Yeah. They care very much about the mixed match challenge.
Yeah, but I don't think they really, really do, though. Like, I think they have to promote it because it's a Facebook exclusive show.
It's fucking hot garbage.
But I don't think they expect fans like us to really care about it. To me, it's like, what's an equivalent to that? Like main event, but with like main eventers on it. It's like weird. I don't see them. There's no real stories that have any. Are there stories that have continuity with Raw and SmackDown?
No fucking idea. I didn't watch last season's season 2.
I didn't watch one episode of it.
I didn't watch any of that.
You know what it's like? It's like the first NXT, like the original show NXT, when they had like the rookie and the pro. I put it in like that weird little show category where like it really has nothing to do with anything else except, you know, the rookie accompanies me on my matches on Raw and SmackDown, but that doesn't really have anything to do with what the show is about. So, I mean, I've never watched an episode of it.
No, either have I. So where were we?
A lot of the same teams as last year, though.
I think so. I don't know. I don't care. All I know is I saw a commercial with AJ and Charlotte, and it was what it was. I'll leave it at that. How's that sound?
That's a live show too, right?
I guess.
I think it is. Live on Facebook.
Yeah, sure. We get the end of Raw where Strowman comes out to the ring. He calls out Roman Reigns. I felt it was flat. They brawl a little bit. Roman Reigns, Samoa drops him off the stage. And that's how Raw ends, going into Hell in a Cell this Sunday.
And they didn't even have a cell like hanging up?
Nope. No cell
hanging
up.
Don't they usually do that?
Sometimes, yes. I get it. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to be happy with this. The Connor's Cure thing is great and all, but I could have fucking done without that too.
Huh. All right.
Was that part of the Raw highlights?
No, I actually saw that.
With the fucking Big Show? I could have done without that.
I actually saw that.
So I get it. I get what the whole concept is, but
it's like it's Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month.
That's fine. Okay. It's all fine.
Sure.
All have their patches. It's great. Yeah. It's good. I'm watching pro wrestling, so I don't have to think about the fucking real world and the awfulness that's out there. I think it's great that they do all this great stuff.
That's a fair point.
Right? I think it's great that they do all this great stuff and the Connor's Cure, you know, say what you will about it. If you read the Justin Roberts book and form your own opinion, that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day. I just don't want to see that shit, man. It's fucking depressing. Life is depressing. It's fucking sad. I watch shitty Monday Night Raw to get away from it.
What's more depressing, life or Monday Night Raw?
Dude. It was so hard for me to not fast forward.
You can make a case that you may want to watch those kids rather than Raw if Raw is so bad.
No, I can't. I can't watch those kids.
All
right. It's rough. Raw was rough, though. Even with the fast forward option, it was fucking painful. I kept looking at the clock, like, this has to be over soon, right? Soon? Please?
Was Hawkins on Raw?
No.
I wonder if he's hurt. Because I don't think he's been on main event either.
Beats me. I don't know. I don't watch main event.
I watch it. They put it on the network like 3 weeks after it airs.
So that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. We're heading into Hell in a Cell. And this is your lineup for Hell in a Cell.
Lay it on me, Big Daddy.
2018, taking place this Sunday night live on the WWE Network. Starts at 7 o'clock from San Antonio, Texas.
Why not? They don't...
We got, we mentioned the tag match, Ziggles and, McIntyre defend against Rollins and Ambrose, excuse me. We got Ronda Rousey, Alexa Bliss. We got Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, the only Hell in a Cell match.
No.
Yes.
Aren't Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy in a cell?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. My apologies. It is right there. I was going through the Raw stuff first.
Oh, gotcha.
My apologies. You're right. We have the New Day taking on the winner of the SmackDown Challenge, whatever they're doing with the tag teams over there.
What are they doing? Because the New Day is fighting the Bar tonight.
on SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I really don't know. I think they have to.
Thought I saw that anyway. There's
two triple threat matches with the winners facing each other. Who determines who? There's two triple threat matches with the winners facing each other to determine who would face the New Days for the title.
Okay, maybe
Cesaro and Sheamus won the first one, and Rusev and Aiden English won the second one. So it'll be Aiden English and Rusev against the Bar tonight. Whoever wins that,
Maybe I read it wrong then.
Okay, whoever wins that gets the tag team shot at the New Day at Hell in the Cell. Hell in a Cell. They're really going heavy with this Hell thing too. I don't know if you've seen the promo picture. Roman Reigns has the horns.
Oh, yeah.
And like the devil face, kind of. But then Braun Strowman is above him with the wings and the tongue. Very, very creepy. And I'm sure there's some shitty song is the theme song. Because the WWE is good at picking like shitty songs. Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella against The Miz and Maryse. This is what Daniel Bryan re-signed for.
Did he resign?
I think he did. I think that was a report we talked about it last week with Tony. Last Monday.
I don't know.
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. I'm sure we'll see the fallout of that heading into Hell in a Cell tonight on SmackDown. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch. That should be very good.
Yeah, that should be really good, actually.
And then, as you mentioned, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton in a cell. Hell in a Cell, Kevin.
And AJ and Joe, isn't it?
No, it just says a singles match they make it in a cell tonight.
That's bizarre.
This is all off of the Wikipedia, though. So
gotcha. Wikipedia.
So there's that. I watched Impact after I watched Raw, and I think I should have done that. I think I should have watched Impact first.
Well, no, because don't you usually like Impact better than Raw?
I do.
So, like, if you watch Raw, Raw's bad, you're like, all right, well, I mean, it can only go up from here.
Yeah, I guess. I was just not. It's like Sam Darnold last night. It doesn't get any worse than that.
Oh, my God. Dude, when I know, bear with me, because as we divert to football for just a second, because if you don't know, I'm a diehard Jets fan. The Devils are my number one sports team of all time, but the Jets are like a 1B. And if you are a Jets fan out there and you saw that the first play of the game was a pick six for a touchdown, you're thinking to yourself, holy shit, it's the fucking same old Jets again and again and again. But, alas, the negativity was only short-lived as Sam Darnold and that Jets team looked fantastic yesterday.
They look pretty good. And I said it. I said the same thing you just said. It can't get any worse.
Yep. There you go.
I guess you're right. But, fuck, Raw was rough, man. Raw was rough to get through. Impact was great. I love what they're doing on Impact. I didn't realize it till a little later this afternoon. I could have called in to the media call with the smoke show. Tony doesn't tell anybody when like an email comes in, so
Scarlett Bordeaux?
Oh, yeah, Scarlett Bordeaux. She did a media call today. Usually they're Wednesdays or Thursdays. I just happened to be home today, and I didn't see it in the email till like 4 o'clock. Tony opened it and then just didn't say anything. So I didn't know it was there. I would have called.
Fucking Tony.
You're
the worst.
But, I mean, look, he got the PWI 500 digital, so.
Oh, he did get that?
There's that.
Did he send it to you?
He sent us all the login information. A couple days ago in text.
He sent
us, to me and you.
Okay, wow.
The login information.
Must have missed that.
No, you were there. You commented on it. You told us to download an app. Gave us the password. It's neither here nor there. It's there. It doesn't come out until the 25th. That's when you can get it on newsstands, apparently. My guy will get it earlier, though. Then we can talk about the PWI 500. I hope.
Your guy?
My guy. Mike down the street, not John Gruden.
Oh. Oh, my God. That was fucking great.
So Impact is just, I think they're firing on all cylinders. They got this weird thing with Pete Williams. Not Petey Williams, but Petey Williams beat Rich Swann. But there's this weird thing with Rich Swann and Matt Sydal. Matt Sydal wants Rich Swann to find his third eye.
Oh, still with that stuff?
And Sydal was on commentary. And Josh Matthews and Don Callis essentially spent the whole match making fun of Matt Sydal and asking him about his third eye. And he said something about, like, merchandising shit. And they were like, you're wearing your own shirt that we sell at ImpactShop.com. But the match was great. Rich Swann was going for the win. He was on the top rope. Matt Sydal got on the ramp. He was telling him to do it, do it. And it distracted him enough for Petey Williams to get the win. He missed the 450, the Phoenix Splash, and then Petey Williams hit the rolling pile driver for the victory. So they have that weird thing, and then they cut to him backstage where Matt Sydal's like, find your third eye. And Rich Swann was like, get away from me, man.
They're doing a lot. They're doing a lot of stuff in wrestling nowadays where, like, someone is trying to, like, influence somebody else, or, like, is being, like, you know, is being paired with somebody else in, like, a weird way. Like, we talked about WWE, like, with the Leo Rush and the Drake Maverick, and then, like, even on Impact, you have this now thing with Evan Bourne trying to interact with Rich Swann, and then you have the KM Fala stuff, which is, like, KM's Fala's influencing KM now. It's very bizarre. Never seen that. It seems to be happening a lot. I don't know, just a little observation. Anyway.
The Desi Hit Squad beat Joe Hendry and Grado, where Grado cost them the match. And then we finally get the big payoff where Katarina gets in the ring and she calls Grado a loser.
Oh.
She tells him that she is in love with Joe Hendry and she kisses Joe Hendry. And Joe Hendry says, don't you understand that I love you like a platonic friend?
To Katarina?
Yes. And then he says, this is my best friend. Look what you've done to him. She slaps him and leaves. So, they were building it to everyone thinking that Joe was going to go behind Grado's back.
Gotcha.
So we have that. That was pretty funny.
They had a good match, too, at WrestlePro 2, Katarina and Santana Garrett.
Oh, yeah? Katarina's. I love Katarina. She's beautiful.
She's fucking gorgeous in person, too. Like, insanely gorgeous.
They did a GWN flashback moment with Bully Ray and Jeff Hardy in a cage. Whatever. It is what it is. Backstage, KM thanks Scarlett for bringing he and Fala closer together. KM's got, like, his hair, like, all pushed down. He looks really redonkulous. That's pretty funny. Eli Drake came out to the ring, and he cut a promo. He wanted to, he called anyone out from the back. Out came Stone Rockwell. He's an adventurer, Kevin.
I don't know. I've seen Stone Rockwell.
And Eli Drake beat him in about 6 seconds. So that was pretty entertaining, and I guess that's the thing that Eli Drake's going to be doing now. Knockouts champion Tessa Blanchard defeated Sue Young to retain. Interesting stuff there. Blanchard won, and then after the match, the Undead Brides attacked her, and they tried to put her in the coffin. In the casket, but Allie vowed that she would never let anyone be put in a casket again. So Allie made the save, but then Tessa Blanchard doesn't like Allie or Kira Hogan. Tessa said she didn't need any friends. So that was interesting. We have this never-ending story with Conan and King and the kid that got hit by the car.
There's a truce, though, right? There's a ceasefire?
There's a ceasefire. Until Bound for Glory, Conan and King each got a phone call separately early in the show, and they had to go to this meeting place to meet with these Dons, and they told them no fighting until October 14th. Conan's going to get back in the ring, and he's going to wrestle with LAX against the OGs and the King.
Oh, right.
OVE, Sammy Callahan, Jake, and David Chris defeated Zachary Wentz, Ace Austin, and Trey Miguel. Awesome spot fest. Letting these indie guys come in and show off, and these guys work for all these companies that we are talking about, Limitless, What, a lot of Northeastern-based companies. Sammy Callahan, they did this crazy thing where they put Ace Austin on one of their shoulders, and then Sammy picked up the other Chris brother, and they gave him – they were both like, they're going to do chicken.
Okay.
And then one of the – whatever Chris was on top gave him an RKO off the other guy, so that's how they won. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
And they're doing this weird thing where I want to say Jake is like mimicking everything Sammy Callahan does, like real, like almost like single white female type of deal,
like Damian Mizdow,
like weird, just not like comedy, like weird, like creepy, and they keep like trying to put it over that he's like infatuated with Sammy Callahan, so. We could see something going forward, and it seems like Pentagon and Phoenix have found an ally in Brian Cage, so we have that, too. OVE against them. That's what it's looking like cool. for Bound for Glory. And then the night ends with Austin Aries, Killer Cross, Moose promo, Moose explaining why he attacked Eddie Edwards last week. Very reminiscent of the 80s. You know, I was in the hospital. Nobody called but these guys to check on me. And then Johnny Mundo came out, and Johnny Impact, whatever he's going by these days. Johnny Impact will be challenging Austin Aries for the championship at Bound for Glory.
Okay.
He wouldn't go in the ring and face off with the three of them. He made Austin Aries come out on the ramp. They fight a little bit. Then they clip him. They beat him up. They stick his. They jam him between a chair and the ring post, but they open the chair, and then they hit him in the neck with the chair.
Gross.
And that's how Impact goes off the air with Johnny Impact laying in a giant heap.
Heap of Impact.
So that was that. They did their cool UK special, which was live on Twitch. I couldn't get it on the Twitch app on the TV, but I got it online. And it was pretty sharp. It showcased a lot of the UK guys. Definitely go out of your way to find the LAX tag match. They took on Jody Fleisch and Johnny Storm. Awesome match. And then Sami Callihan and Jimmy Havoc had a barbed wire baseball bat death match, amongst other things. It was a very, very good show. A lot of the UK stars really came off looking like stars. Adam Flex, Max did, Robbie X, Jacob McCluskey, and Lucas Steele. Great tag match. Definitely go out of your way to see that. Lana Austin wrestled Sue Young. She's an English broad.
hello.
She looked great. I mean, if you have time, it was like 2.5 hours. If you have some time, you want to see some of the UK guys and the Impact stuff, if you're really enjoying that, check it out. So that was that in a nutshell. Oh, and Joe Hendry, he defeated Eli Drake. Eli Drake was over like Rover. With the Impact crowd. We're rocking and rolling. And then the last thing I watched, Kevin, was Ring of Honor TV. Just because they were showing the 30-man Iron Man match. 30-minute Iron Man match with Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. Probably one of the best matches I've seen in 2018.
Wow.
Really, really good.
Was this like a follow? Was this like the follow up from All In or no?
No. This was taped before All In. They were still at the. These tapings were coming from the Atlanta Center Stage.
Okay.
But fuck! What a good match! So good. 30 minutes. They did a little overtime gimmick where Jay Lethal finally got the win. But man, Jonathan Gresham is so good. It's definitely something you want to go out of your way to find and watch. I know it's on ROH. It's on the website now. It's on the Fight TV app. So definitely check it out. Frankie Kazarian beat Mark Briscoe in the opening match. They showed highlights of a three-way tag match with the Bouncers, Cheeseburger and Ryan Nova, and the Dogs. But, man, that 30-minute Iron Man match, woo!
Must see.
They went to 1-1 into overtime, and then Lethal got the win in sudden death overtime. So definitely something worth checking out. That was all the wrestling I watched this week, Kevin.
That's a lot of wrestling.
Or today, not even this week. We did a show Thursday night. I watched some wrestling today. And we're rocking and rolling. Back here on a Tuesday night. Listening to us live on the Rant, Rant EM Radio. If you're listening to us in podcast form, ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, @ Wizards Podcast. We are patiently awaiting our guest, who should be calling shortly, Aiden Agro from the Maine State Posse. He's the current holder of the Chaotic Wrestling Tag Team Championship with Danger Kid.
Danger!
He's going to be joining us in a little bit, talk a little Limitless Wrestling and his other adventures. So stay tuned for that. And then we have some news and notes and some plugs and some other little shits to talk about.
Nice little Facebook back and forth today, too.
Ah, yes.
Let's dive into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that after we speak with our guest tonight. It is Paul Heyman's 53rd birthday.
Wow.
Which is pretty wild, because when you look at pictures of Paul Heyman, and I don't mean to sound like a dick, but he looks like he's a lot older than 53.
Does he?
I think he looks a lot older than 53, man.
A lot of miles, right?
Yeah. Maybe it's the weight. I really don't know. He just doesn't look, I don't know. I just thought he would look older, or he was older.
I think he looks okay.
All right, fair enough. I thought he was older, too. I forget he was so young and back here
in 1992. Well, yeah, remember when he started, really, when he was like 16. Like 16, 15, when he was doing the pictures and shit. So he's been around for a while.
No drinks tonight, Kevin?
Not tonight. Drove.
All right. All right.
So negative on the old beverage.
All right. You seem like you're a little out of it tonight.
Dude, I am tired. It was a late night last night. It was a late night, early morning combination. Had all right. no laundry ready for work at all. So I had to wake up pretty early and get laundry done. So nothing ready.
All right. But you're good now.
What, for laundry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm set up for the rest of the work week, baby.
All right. Fair enough.
Is this guy, he's calling in at 8?
There he is.
All right, there he is.
Joining us on the Shining Wizards hotline, he is one-third of the Main State Posse, Mr. Aiden Agro. How are you, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I can't complain.
Life is good when you are.
Sure, but, I mean, I said I don't know who would listen, but you feel me, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, nobody listens to us, so we got that going for us. You there? Did we lose you?
Lose him?
Oh, I'm.
Oh. Did you fall down a flight of stairs?
Possibly.
All right, Aiden, are you with us? Do we have you?
I'm here.
He's here. He's one half of the Chaotic Wrestling Tag Team Champions.
You can't hear me, right?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Awesome. I can hear you.
A little bit of a delay in something.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. I was concerned.
All right. We'll get through it.
Are we good?
I think we're good.
Awesome.
All right. Aiden Agro on the line. Matt, hit him with one.
Yeah.
All right, so first of all, talk to me about this Main Street Posse. A Main State. Jesus
we
Christ.
You have no idea how many times we fucked that up already. Just Main Street Posse. Like 4 times already we fucked it up.
We've had Main Street Posse. We've had Mean Street, Mean State. We've had so many renditions that we're not worried about it anymore.
All right. Well, let's talk about this current rendition. Yourself, Alexander Lee, and Danger Kid. First and foremost, are you all from Maine?
We are. We are all from Maine.
All right. That makes me feel better because I would be pretty upset if there was like a Jersey kid thrown in there because it would be false advertising. Tell us a little bit about the Maine State Posse, though. What is the goal? I mean, you guys are running roughshod through Limitless Wrestling. Wrestling Has a Tomorrow, Battle Club Pro, XWA, like I mentioned before, Chaotic Wrestling Tag Champions. What's the end game for you guys here? Are you guys looking to take over the world?
Yeah. Actually, if you have ever gone through the Limitless Wrestling YouTube, there is actually a Main State Posse unsanctioned little mini documentary, and I think the tagline on the end of that by Alexander Lee is, "We are out to take over the fucking world." I'm sorry, can I swear?
Absolutely.
Yes, please, by all means.
Okay, awesome. Then, yes, the tagline is verbatim, "We are going to take over the fucking world." And that's the plan.
And the plan seems to be going pretty well. I know Limitless just hit 140,000 followers on YouTube, and they put up a pretty fun tag match with you and Danger Kid against Kevin Blackwood and the Red something of another. I don't know. I was digging the match inside of a fire department, which is fucking just fucking wild. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, you're part of Limitless, 140,000 YouTube subscribers, and they choose you guys to feature as the faces of Limitless Wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very cool and humbling thing for us anyway, because to us, you know, we're just the main boys, and Limitless Wrestling being a main promotion, I mean, why not have the hometown guys on your show? And the caliber of wrestlers that come in is incredible. And for us to even be considered to be a part of those shows is amazing. And, you know, we appreciate our position every day and never take it for granted. But yeah, like you were saying, 140,000 subscribers on YouTube for the Big LW. And, yeah, they featured myself and Danger Kid against Kevin Blackwood and Daniel Garcia. I think they called their tag team the Black Death at the time, but, no, it was a very fun match and, we had a good time and, great pair of guys, Kevin Blackwood and Daniel Garcia. Hopefully, we'll see them down the line, but, again, that match actually was, like you said, in a fire station. It was for a pirate festival in Hollis, Maine. And it ended up turning out that whole deal got rained out. Like, the actual festival still took place, but by the time it was time for the wrestling to happen, it was almost a torrential downpour. And after shuffling around, trying to figure out a game plan to still be able to have the show, we were contacted, or rather we spoke with the fire chief of Hollis, and he gave us the opportunity to wrestle in their fire station. It was very ridiculous at first, and we didn't know what to think. And then once we got everything set up and people started showing up, it ended up being a really awesome experience, and we were glad that we actually had the opportunity to do something like that.
Now, how long was this show inside the fire station?
Let me see. I want to say we had probably 6 to 8 matches. Like, so it was a good couple hours, and it was funny because we kind of knew from the jump that the people at the fire station really weren't on board with this. And it was just obvious because they were like, oh, stay out of this area or stay out of that area. No, you can't go to the bathroom. And
what?
But by the, yeah, no, they were like, no, that's all private areas for employees. So you guys got to walk back to the festival, which was probably like, you know, 50 yards away to use the porta potty there. So that kind of sucked. But other than that, like, they were very accommodating for the situation regarding the rain and everything. So we appreciate everything they did for us all in all. But yeah, that was a weird thing of not going to the bathroom. But
what was the game plan? What would have happened if they had gotten a call? Like, would you guys have to like break everything down and just get out of the way?
Well, actually, the Hollis Fire Station isn't, like, super huge, so they actually pulled all of the fire trucks out of the station just so we could fit the ring and all of the people inside. So all of the fire trucks were posted, like, right outside in the parking lot while all of the wrestlers, ring, and fans were inside.
Fascinating. Well, good thing there wasn't a call. Now, the
no, absolutely.
The main state. Jesus Christ, why?
It's hard. I understand. I'm not gonna fault you for it.
Well, look, I have a battle with the English language on the regular, so this is not making life easy. Main state and Limitless. I can't say on the regular. Do you guys go by the Freebird rule, or is it just? I've seen a lot of just you and Danger Kid.
Well, the way it worked out was myself and Danger Kid were brought into this new rendition of the Main State Posse by Alexander Lee at a company called NCW, which he actually ran with that name with another wrestler in Alex Chamberlain back in the day. I want to say it was like 10 years ago or something or other. And he had asked us if it was something that we wanted to do. He's like, well, I'm going to go back to this company where I did the Main State Posse, and you guys want to come and do it with me? And we were like, hell yeah, that sounds super awesome, because we were still very new and just really digging into going out of state and just trying to, you know, get out there. So we were pretty excited to do it. And then, so basically after we had started doing that, Alexander Lee ended up getting hurt and, he was kind of nursing an injury for a few months. So myself and Danger Kid, kind of kept the ball rolling and just did everything we could to wrestle everywhere that we possibly could. And so that's kind of where people ended up seeing myself and Danger Kid more often than not, just because, Alexander Lee was hurt for a period of time. But, obviously that, he healed up and, got his bearings again, and now we're a trio again. But yeah, we absolutely do the free bird rule everywhere that we're basically allowed, if that makes sense.
All right. Which one of you is Michael P.S. Hayes?
The what?
Which one of you would be the Michael P.S. Hayes character?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'd probably have to say Danger Kid.
Oh, Danger Kid. Danger Kid's got the hair.
It's the hair, honestly. The hair is really what does it for me.
Well, you have a super unique look. I mean, let's talk about that. You got the little thing with the hair there. Look at you. Such a handsome fella.
Ah, thanks. I mean, yeah, I try to do something a little bit outside of the norm. You know, I think everybody wants to stand out in an industry where a lot of people, it's not uncommon for a lot of people to be into the same stuff. So, you know, you don't want to look like, you know, 10 other guys. So I just try to do something or whatever I can to just kind of stand out a little bit, you know.
And we are on the line, if you guys are listening to us live, with Aiden Agro. You can follow him on Twitter at He Is Agro. Don't forget to follow at Main State Posse and go over to mainstateposse.com for all your Main State Posse gear. Let's talk about Limitless Wrestling. You guys are featured prominently there, and you guys had a little bit of a situation back in July at the Vacation Land Cup, where you ended up squaring off against your brother in a three-way match to see who would advance to the finals of the Vacation Land Cup. How has that affected your relationship? Is there any strain? Did you guys just go out there and do what you needed to do and you put it behind you?
Well, I guess to start, the whole reason that this came about was because of a guy named Joey Eastman, which the Limitless Wrestling crowd has donned him the hashtag shit weasel. He just kind of came in thinking that there was nothing to the Main State Posse name, and it was something that really, at least in his opinion, could never go anywhere, couldn't make money, yada, yada, yada. And, I mean, obviously we're not going to change for anybody. That's kind of, you know, who we are, and we're not going to change for anybody, especially for a shit weasel like Joey Eastman. So he kind of put us through a series of trials and tribulations, kind of testing our worth with each other, honestly. And, you know, we tried turning us against each other, and it never worked. And that culminated to the Vacation Land Cup, where he thought that he could pit us three against each other and tear us apart. And I don't know if you guys saw the match, but for anybody that saw the match, they saw that just really wasn't the case. We're brothers through and through, and some little shit weasel isn't going to tear us apart.
Right. And and switching gears over, I guess from Limitless Wrestling, because you're in the middle of something a little bit of not controversy so much, but a problem between two other tag teams with the Logan Brothers and Bear Country, and I believe they're fighting each other. On what is it? When's the 13th?
Thursday.
This Thursday.
Yeah, and up at Chaotic.
Thursday night Chaos too.
Yeah, and then the winners, is it confirmed? The winners of this match get you guys.
That's my understanding. Yes.
Okay, so preference on. I mean, I believe you have wins over both teams, but Bear Country is some big boys. And, you know, Logan brothers are always dangerous, too. Preference on who you would prefer to defend the titles against?
I mean, Logan brothers are 9-time Chaotic Wrestling Tag Team champions. So, I mean, they have that in their corner, and they're a polished tag team. They are the brothers. I mean, they've been doing this for so long, way longer than Danger Kid and I have. And so that's an edge that they have on us. And with Bear Country, they're a new tag team coming into Chaotic, and they're brutes. They really are. They're brutes. They're bullies. They are running roughshod in Chaotic right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. We are the Chaotic Tag Team Champions, and we plan on staying the Chaotic Tag Team Champions. But with a team like Bear Country that's so unpredictable and, I mean, just powerful. They're such a powerful team, and it's intimidating. But at the same time, like you said, we do have a win over the Logans and Bear Country. And as far as which one we'd like to really go one-on-one with, I'd probably have to say Bear Country, just because we've had so many tag matches, championship matches against the Logans at this point. And I mean, not to take anything away from the Logans, they're a great team, but I think that we'd like to see how this could play out with Bear Country. We kind of want to finally shut them up and let them know that we're not a team to mess with.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that they're a new team infiltrating, you know, the super Northeast, really. What is it about the Northeast that is so inviting for newer teams and newer guys to wrestle? I'm talking like your Maines, your Massachusettses, and stuff like that.
I think there's a lot of buzz that's been in the Northeast lately, the New England area specifically. And I think there's a lot of that really want to get up north, get up this way, and really show that, you know, what they got. It's the same honestly for us, where we are like the Northeast New England guys. We want to get down to, you know, the tri-state area, get out west, get down south, and show that we can hang with these guys just as much as these guys believe they can hang with us.
Well, it looks like that's happening. I mean, you guys have a full slate of stuff coming up. XWA, Liberty States Wrestling, Limitless, Wrestling Has a Tomorrow, Wrestling's Lab here in New Jersey, Chaotic Wrestling. There's a wedding in there. Let's Wrestle, NECW, Battle Club Pro back here in Jersey, Innovate Pro. I mean, you guys are everywhere. Is there anywhere in the tri-state New England area that you haven't wrestled yet that you guys want to leave your mark?
That we haven't wrestled yet. I think it's always a goal, or anybody's goal that hasn't been there, to want to get down to CZW. It's always been a goal for us, and it's going to remain a goal for us until we get there. Another one, GCW, of course, really been making a lot of noise lately in that area. And so anywhere where there's noise, that's a place that we want to be. So definitely those two places. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, it's really.
While you think about that, here's another one for you. Out of all the companies that you guys are working for, do you have, like, is Limitless Wrestling, is that your home? Do you have a home?
Yeah, do you consider that your base, or do you not have one of those?
Yeah, we would definitely consider Limitless Wrestling our home. I mean, it's in our home state. That's kind of the marquee company for the state of Maine. That's absolutely 100% our home.
All right, very good. We're on the line with Aiden Agro at, he is Agro on Twitter, at Main State Posse, mainstateposse.com.
Hey, you got it.
I got it. I'm firing on all cylinders now. You guys have like...
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. You guys have a slew of nicknames. Which one is your favorite?
Okay, so we got the Defenders of the Great North, the Priests from the Northeast, the Sons of Senton style. Jeez, the list could go on and on, and we just think of them at random all the time. But I think the Defenders of the Great North is kind of the one that's kind of stuck with us.
All right. I like the Lads of Plaid.
The Lads of, see, another good one.
Now, I was scrolling through videos of you guys on YouTube earlier, and I noticed that you guys have downloadable or mateable players in I guess one of the 2K series. Have you seen that? Have you seen you guys as video game characters yet?
I have actually. I want to say I was contacted by the guy that made them, and I guess he does it for a lot of wrestlers, but I mean, seriously, just seeing it, it was almost like we were just in the game already, like we were supposed to be in the game. And it's a really cool thing to see when somebody actually cares enough to, you know, put the time into creating you as a wrestler in a 2K game. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was younger, I would spend hours just creating wrestlers. And it's something that, if you really care about it, putting the time into it, it's something that is very time consuming. So the fact that somebody even took the time to do that for myself or three of us is super cool.
What is your favorite wrestling video game?
My favorite wrestling video game, like of all time?
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite of all time would definitely be WWF No Mercy for N64.
Correct! Ding!
Yeah, that's my favorite of all time. Probably say PlayStation 2, Here Comes the Pain would be second. And then I'd have to say third would be the WWE Day of Reckoning games on GameCube, which was like the only wrestling games I ever got into for GameCube.
How do you feel about this new line of this 2K whatever they're doing?
I mean, I honestly haven't played since like 2K17, which I guess realistically isn't that long ago, but they're on like, what, are they on 19 now?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't played the last two, but I guess realistically I never really had any problems with them. I mean, it's just once you've played one of the 2K games, it's kind of like you've played them all, and it's nice to see the new features that they throw in there. But yeah, I guess once you've played one 2K game, you play them all.
Fair enough. I prefer the game controls of a No Mercy over the 2K stuff.
Yeah, no, seriously. If I could just taunt 100 times in 2K and do my finisher, that's really all I care about. So, and if they're not doing that for me, then No Mercy still wins.
Fair, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's hard to beat No Mercy. Aiden, it's been a pleasure. We're going to wrap up. We've gone a little longer than we'd like to with you, but we had a great time. @HeIsAgro on the Twitter machine. Give him a follow. @MainStatePosse is the name of his crew. So give them a follow on Twitter, MainStatePosse.com. He's the current one half of the current Chaotic Wrestling Tag Team Champions. They are all over the Northeast, New England, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Maine, Massachusetts. You can see them at XWA. You can see them at Liberty States Wrestling. You can see them at Limitless. Wrestling Has It Tomorrow. Wrestlers Lab here in Jersey. They're going to be here in Jersey for Battle Club Pro in October. Innovate Pro Wrestling. Jesus, you guys have a full schedule, a lot going on. If you haven't heard of the main state posse. I'm sure by the end of the year, you will definitely have them in your wrestling vocabulary. Aiden, is there anything you would like to leave us with before we let you go, sir?
Oh, man. You've covered most of it, our social media, website, all of that stuff. Anybody that wants to catch us at Limitless Wrestling, we're going to be at the Westbrook Armory on the 21st of September. So come see us there. Like you said, you can see us in Jersey. You can see us in New York. You can see us in Rhode Island. Yada, 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 yada. I think you've covered it perfectly, and I appreciate you for it.
We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And please be sure to check out Aiden and his boys, the Main State Posse, Mr. Alexander Lee and the Danger Kid. Aiden, it's been a pleasure. Thank you again, and enjoy the rest of your night, sir.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Anytime you want to come back on, please let us know.
Hey, maybe all three of us will come on sometime.
That works. I would love to do that. I don't know how we do it over the phone, but we'll figure something out.
Hey, we'll have a conference call. It'll work.
Aiden, thank you, man. Have a great night.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, brother.
All right.
Ooh. All right. Mr. Agro from the Main State Posse featured a lot in the Northeast and New England area.
I couldn't think of New England. I said the super Northeast.
I mean, look, when you go over, he sent me his list of all the places to work. And I mean, the super Northeast might be like proper. Like,
yeah, that's what it
like
is.
XWA, Liberty, Limitless, Wrestling Has It Tomorrow, Chaotic Wrestling, Let's Wrestle, NECW. I mean, holy shit. These guys have a full slate of dates up until December. I mean, great for them, and it's...
Are the Battle Club shows back in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey?
They are. Every show is in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. It makes plugs a lot easier for me.
It's why every show's in the same building.
It really... I mean, I guess it... I get it, I guess. Yeah. But it's pretty funny. So they are mainstays at Limitless Wrestling, and we just started working with Limitless Wrestling. So props to them, and again, thank you, Aiden,
yeah,
for calling in tonight and talking a little bit of wrestling with us. But we move upward and onward. Kevin mentioned our Facebook conversation today. If you're not following us on Twitter, Jesus Christ.
FaceSpace.
Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. Dylan. The most iconic moment in WWF.
That's such a loaded. I saw that today. I'm like, wow, what a loaded question.
Is it a loaded question, though?
I mean, it's not. To me, it's easy. I don't think it's the one that you put up.
Well, I just pulled the picture because it was relevant to him being on Monday Night Raw last night and the 20-year anniversary of Mick Foley getting thrown off the Hell in the Cell. I think the most iconic WWF memory is Hogan slamming Andre.
I agree.
But you have to put into perspective that people grew up in different eras. You know?
So yeah, I totally get that. And there's a lot of conversation, a lot of different ones on there.
We also have a lot of wise ass fans. Yeah. So I don't think
I'm not going to read those.
I don't think those ones were worthy of some jack off put something up where it was like when Kenny Omega mentioned the WWE. Like what?
Yeah. No.
Like what? I don't understand.
I don't get it.
I mean, look, I don't like the WWE product very much right now either, but it's what I grew up on.
Yeah,
the stuff I grew up on is great. What they're doing right now is not really for me, so I'm not going to fucking say something stupid like that.
Some of the stupid ones that people... Oh, here we go. I just found it. Kenny Omega mentioned the WWE because just him doing that was better than anything that's ever happened in WWE. All right, I get it. Yeah, all right.
But it's a false statement. It's not better.
It's definitely false.
It's just people being trolls.
There's a few trolls on here.
Yeah. You see Tony's
the biggest troll, and he's a Shining Wizard.
Well, he's a fucking idiot.
Snitsky's punt is one of them, one of the stupid ones. Skip beating, or Barry Harwood's beating Skip is another stupid one. Mae Young giving birth to a hand is another stupid. And these are friends of mine, too, which is even more embarrassing.
Well, yeah, I think people are going for the funny because the obvious answer is there. For people of our generation, it's going to be Hogan slamming Andre. For people who might be 10 years older or younger than us, it might be the Hell in the Cell.
It could be, and I definitely put it up there. There's actually a couple good ones on here, too. Warrior beating Savage, followed by Elizabeth Reunite. That's a memorable moment. Maybe not iconic, but certainly memorable.
Right. The simulcast from Nitro and Raw.
That's a good one, too. That was probably the most influential or the most no-one-saw-coming moment in wrestling history. See, this is another good one. Roddy Piper smashing the coconut over Jimmy Snuka's head.
Yeah.
If you want to put any one of those in the conversation, I'll listen to you. But Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. I mean, if it's a young person, sure.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I can see that.
I mean, they're really not bad.
No, not at all.
Randy winning the tournament, always a favorite. WrestleMania 4.
Yep.
I'll give you that if you want. Triple H's return at MSG was amazing. I was there. It was absolutely fantastic. That's probably my favorite, one of my favorite live experiences ever, is when Triple H came back.
Yeah. Do you think would Daniel Bryan winning at 30?
Probably. It just took them so long to freaking get there. Like, it should have happened sooner. But
well, isn't that the beauty of it, the slow build?
Well, it wasn't a slow build. They had no plans on doing it, but then it was too overwhelming for them to ignore, I think. So they had to do it. I mean, the plan was for Batista one-on-one with Orton. That was the plan. And then they turned it into the three-way, and then Triple H and Daniel Bryan to get into the match. And I think the night was fine. But just they didn't want to do it. They just had no choice to do it.
Well, I think in the end it was a brilliant decision.
Again, that they didn't want to do. They were forced into it, basically.
Is there any truth to that?
I think so. I'm pretty sure the plan was to have Batista come back and go one-on-one with Orton at WrestleMania 30. But they just, like, how can you justify, like, ignoring what the people so blatantly, blatantly wanted?
So would you say that's an iconic moment?
Yes. No pun intended.
Is the pipe bomb an iconic moment?
It's a memorable moment.
Like, I'm just trying to think, like, since we've been doing this podcast, what's an iconic WWE moment? And there's really not many of them. The Hardy Boys coming back at WrestleMania?
That's
more,
one.
Is that an iconic moment, or is that more of a
Undertaker losing at WrestleMania?
Okay, that's an iconic moment, yeah, because we never thought we'd see that. There's not many. And I think in the grand scheme of things, that's maybe better off, that it's not an overwhelming amount of iconic moments.
Oh, yeah, because then they don't become iconic. Then they're just moments.
Right.
I'm trying to think if there's, I mean, Undertaker losing, definitely. Maybe even Undertaker losing again
to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, because I didn't see that one coming. Actually, I didn't see the Brock one. Oh, maybe Goldberg coming back. Maybe winning the Universal Championship.
What about the Ultimate Warrior coming back?
Yes, 100%.
Okay,
100% iconic.
And Bruno.
All of those.
As much as I don't really like Bruno.
Bruno, Kurt Angle, all coming back. I mean, anytime you
Are they iconic moments, or were they just feel-good stories?
The more so the story. Right. But Warrior's speech on Raw after Mania was awesome. Especially the way he ended it. Like, forever! That's pretty iconic, I think. Again, we're throwing around the term iconic pretty loosely. Iconic is Hogan slamming Andre. That's the bar.
Right.
Like, that's what you have to measure all other moments against. Like, did you get the same feeling when, God, we just mentioned a whole shitload of them. When Undertaker threw Mankind off the cell, did you have that same feeling that you did when Hogan slammed Andre?
There are definitely two moments you'll never forget as a wrestling fan.
Yeah. I mean, I was still too young to appreciate WrestleMania 3. So, like, I wish I had that, like, not to make a bad correlation to it, but today is 9/11. I'll always remember where I was on 9/11.
Right.
Like, I can't say that I remember where I was at WrestleMania 3. I can't even tell you where I was at Hell in a Cell. But, like, so, like, odds are I was home watching it. But I always remember where I was. Like, that's iconic. Like, I remember where I was WrestleMania 6 when Warrior beat Hogan. I'll always remember that.
Okay.
That was my dad's birthday, and we were watching it at my house on pay-per-view. We had a party. So, like, I always remember that. But I can't tell you where I was watching Hell in a Cell. I'd have to think about it for a really long time. Like, I could tell you. Let's see what the other one's on here. I mean, I could tell you where I was when the barbershop happened. I mean, I was young enough where I was at home watching it on Superstars.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah, yeah. Sniffles, yawns, sniffles.
Sniffles, yawns. Yeah, man.
This weather's fucking garbage.
Well, it was like freezing yesterday, and now it was like humid as shit today.
Yeah, that's why I had the air on when you got to the old Studio yeah. B.
That's it.
Yeah, so that's that in the iconic department. I don't know what you're looking up.
I'm just trying to see if there's any that I missed on the chat.
On the chat ski. Here's a little bit of why you're looking at that, a little bit of fun for you. Today, in 1995, was the first ever time that Raw and Nitro aired opposite each other.
Really?
Yeah.
So this was, oh, because they went unopposed.
Because of the, it was either tennis or the dog show.
Yeah, so the first Nitro was unopposed.
Right.
So was it the next week, I guess? Yeah. Next week.
So the 1995 and what was Nitro? Nitro was a 2.5 and Raw was a 2.2.
What does it? Do you have what was on them?
I don't. No, I'm sure I could find it though. Let's see. Let me see.
Probably here. Should know this.
Well, I looked this up. A little action here.
95.
I think it was. They set up.
It's probably like Psycho Sid versus Fatu or some shit.
All right, let's see. Here we go. This is Nitro. Alex Wright beat Sabu by DQ.
Oh, wow. That was Sabu's probably his debut.
Sting beat VK Wall Street to retain his United States Championship.
And that was probably VK Wall Street's debut because on the first Nitro, he cut a promo.
Randy Savage beat Scott Norton.
I remember that.
And Hulk Hogan beat Lex Luger by DQ to retain the world title.
Wow, loaded show. I remember that because Savage. Yeah, I remember this because Norton had just come in and Savage was doing that Norton. Yeah, had a little mini feud with Norton.
Let's see what was on.
And Norton was kind of teasing going with the Dungeon of Doom.
And then Luger was still on the fence. We didn't know where Luger was.
Yeah, because War Games had not happened. Is it Psycho Sid versus Fatu? Is it Fatu versus? No, Vader's still in WWE.
There is no Fatu.
There's no Fatu. Is it 1-2-3 Kid versus Nikolai Volkov?
No. Your British Bulldog defeated Razor Ramon via DQ. The Smoking Guns defeated Rad Radford and the Brooklyn Brawler.
Beautiful.
Dr. Isaac Yankum defeated Scott Taylor.
All right.
And Shawn Michaels retained
his
WWF Intercontinental Championship.
Against
Sid.
Sid. All right. That's not a bad main event.
So that was, wow, Jesus.
Sid was probably Million Dollar Corpo at this point.
This was taped, too.
Yeah. Wow.
Oof.
Oof. No storylines, no angles or anything?
Not on this website that I went to. I'm sure if I did enough digging before the show, I could have figured things out.
No, that's cool. God, those, I gotta go back and watch those Raws.
Right?
There's not enough time in the day, man. Not enough time in the day to watch wrestling.
Yeah, there really isn't. Oh, excuse me.
Look at this. The sniffles, the yawns.
I'm a disaster today. I don't know what to do with myself. All right, let's get some news and notes before we get The Rock out of here, Kevin.
Yeah.
You're listening to us live on The Rant, rantemradio.com. The Rant is coming up at 9 o'clock. If you are listening to us in podcast form, shiningwizards.com, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you listen to us through. If you're listening to us on iTunes, we would like you to leave us a 5-star review because that helps us get more recognition.
Magnum PA approves.
That's it.
Look at Rip Rogers, man.
Rip Rogers, Dustin Rhodes. Looks like the New Year's Eve edition of Monday Night Raw will be taped in advance.
Good for them.
So,
what about Christmas? Any update on Christmas? Is Christmas a Monday? Yeah, it's got to be if New Year's Eve is Monday.
No, Christmas was a Monday this year.
But if New Year's Eve's a Monday, wouldn't Christmas have
to be a Monday? No, New Year's Eve, it's going to be taped in advance. So,
But if the reason why they're doing that...
New Year's Eve is on a Monday, so Christmas is a Tuesday.
Is that how it works? Yes. I always thought they were always 1 week. You've been
New Year's Eve, a week before that, would be December 24th.
Right. Okay, so New Year's Day would be...
New Year's Day is a Tuesday.
All right. Wait a second. Let's find this out here. I think you're screwing with me.
I'm not screwing with you at all.
I mean, you would know. Do you have your schedule for work planned out that ahead
No,
of time?
Not that far. I have my schedule to the end of September.
All right. Let's see here. October, November, December. All right. Look at that.
Yeah. New Year's Eve is on a Monday.
Well, I'll be damned. So, yeah, New Year's Eve.
Because last year it was on a Monday, so it just moves up a day.
All right.
So, we won't have to listen to people cry like a bunch of fucking pussies.
Were they crying about, was it New Year's or Christmas they were crying about?
Christmas.
I remember you and me having strong difference of agreement.
Biggest day in the business in the 80s. Christmas and Thanksgiving. And no one fucking cried then. Bunch of sissy fucks. Ring of Honor announced final battle will be at the Hammerstein Ballroom December 14th. So
nice.
We got that to look forward to. Their next pay-per-view is September 28th, Death Before Honor, with Will Ospreay challenging Jay Lethal for the ROH World title and the Bullet Club taking on Chaos.
Oh.
So that's a lot of interesting stuff. Nick Aldis defeated Doug Williams at the Wrestling MediaCon. That's where they did the UK versus Impact.
Okay.
So now Nick Aldis is the number one contender, and he will face Cody at the NWA 70th anniversary show.
I saw that. When is that?
October. Do I have
I literally somewhere? Just saw the headline today.
October 13th, 20th, somewhere in that range.
I got to find out where it is.
It's in Nashville.
Oh, never mind then. Not going to Nashville. Not a bunch of fucking... Never mind.
Velveteen Dream was at Evolve all weekend.
Yeah. He could have gone to that Saturday show.
You could have?
Yes. Someone offered me a ticket last minute, but...
Oh, really?
I can't even get to... I have enough trouble getting here to do a show, let alone I'm going to Queens to do...
La Boom. He beat Austin Theory the first night, and... he beat Darby Allin in the second night by DQ. So that's pretty cool for those guys, Austin Theory and Darby Allin.
Yeah,
get to work with.
The Dream.
The Dream.
D-R-E-A-M.
CMLL and Ring of Honor are partnering to make the 85th anniversary show available Friday night on Honor Club. So if you have Honor Club, you will get to see... the CMLL's 85th anniversary match with Valdor Jr. and Matt Taven taking on Rush and Barbaro Cavaniero in a hair-versus-hair match.
All right.
Plus L.A. Park, Pentagon, King Phoenix, Ultimate Guerrero, ton of names. So if you are around Friday night looking for something to do, you are an Honor Club member, you can see the old CMLL.
I can dig it.
Undertaker will be back next week on Raw.
And Matt's super excited about that.
Oh, I can't wait for the fucking super showdown.
You going to stay up till 4:30 in the morning to watch it?
Oh, absolutely. You know I will. You know I got my alarm set, and I can't wait for it to happen.
I probably will. Is it a weekend, or is it like a Tuesday morning?
Whatever October 6th is. So that's it's a Saturday, but then they're ahead of us?
I have no idea.
So it's a Sun? I don't fucking
know.
But
I know it's some weird butt crack of dawn.
I also struggle with the time change. Like when you have to, when they do like Wrestle Kingdom, it starts at like 2 a.m. here or 3 a.m.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it really is. I tried to stay up last year for Wrestle Kingdom. It was not easy. I struggled mightily, to be perfectly honest with you. I watched the first half, and then I fell asleep because I had work in the morning, and then it snowed the next day, and I didn't have to go to work anyway, but then I was just really fucking tired and cranky.
Oh, 10/21 at the asylum, the old TNA asylum, the Nashville Fairgrounds.
There you go.
Nick Aldis versus Cody. Whoa. Oh, not bad. Cheap tickets. General admission for $20.
1948, the year the NWA was founded.
Ah. So Jeff Jarrett's going to be involved. That's ironic.
Spend my day working hard on the go.
Jeff Jarrett.
If you fire... Here's a weird one, Kevin. I fired... So I was looking for this Impact versus UK thing on the Twitch channel. If you go online on the...
It's free?
Yes.
I have Twitch. I should really use it.
Yeah, so I went to it today, and I searched Impact Wrestling. There's a channel on Twitch that just constantly shows Impact Wrestling.
Okay.
Today it was Jeff Jarrett against...
K-Quick?
No. I never heard of the guy before in my life. Man.
Monty Brown?
No. It was a white guy. Jeff, maybe?
Jeff Gaylord?
It wasn't Jeff Gaylord.
Jeff Hardy?
No, it wasn't Jeff... I know who Jeff Hardy is.
Judge Jeff Jones?
There wasn't that. Early days. Early years.
Hector Garza.
Wasn't Hector Garza, man. Come on. Let's see if I can find it here.
Hermie Sadler.
Jeff Jarrett. It wasn't a Hermie.
Hermie, he's the NASCAR guy.
Is he? I don't even know what that is. I know what NASCAR is. I just don't know who that is.
Trying to think early TNA.
Jeff Vol? Something with a V, maybe? I watched it for like 2 seconds.
I don't know. It is ironic that Jeff Jarrett's running the... I mean, I don't know.
I think it was on... it was when it was on Fox Sports 1, too, because it had the scroll on the bottom.
Oh, okay. But, you know, going back, Jeff Jarrett suing Impact, and now he's going to be back. I don't know if he's been... I'm sure he's been back there since. But ironic that he's going to run TNA's original home.
Hey, it's the wrestling business. Nothing really surprises me anymore.
Yep.
To be perfectly honest.
I mean, it's not surprising. It's just irony.
Irony. You want me to do some plugs, Kev?
Do it.
I feel like we're dragging ass here.
All right.
Do you feel like we're dragging ass? I got no more notes, so I'm out of notes, Kev.
I'm good.
All right, then let's do some plugs.
Did you see that Bullet Club is coming to Legends in October?
I did not see that.
So they'll be on the super premium ticket, I guess. So it's probably $4,000. To meet all of them.
No, it can't be that much.
No, I know. But all right, so Mick Foley is the official referee for that match now, I guess, huh? That Hell in a Cell match?
Yes.
Glow wins an Emmy. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're a fan of The Glow, right?
I do. I watch the show on the Netflix.
Yeah, all right. Plugs.
Plug time. We are fucking running on gas over here. 3 shows in 10 days. We're like the New York Jets.
That's it. That's why I'm tired, man.
Because of the Jets?
I mean, I had a good time last night.
You knew we had a podcast today, Kevin.
Listen, it's football season.
All right. We're going to have to make another t-shirt. Just me. No, not even Tony. Just Matt. Matt, Wizard.
What? I'm here?
Yeah. You're here, like, physically, mentally, you're, like, not even close to being here.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, I see you, But like,
it's very, hey, 389 episodes in, I'm allowed every once in a while.
Very one-sided podcast tonight. My throat hurts. I talked a lot. A lot of talking. But the Jets aren't going to win a lot, so I'll give it to you.
See you on Sunday. You got the Dolphins.
So you won't see me anywhere. I got to work.
I said, okay. I just said, we'll see. We got the Dolphins.
We'll see. It's a long season. I hope you didn't get it all out of the way in the first week.
Oh, no. I'm all in every Sunday. I'm all in.
All right. Just make sure you take off from the podcast if they play on Monday nights again.
No way they get two Monday night games, do they?
I don't think they do. No. I know the Dolphins don't have any.
They don't have one?
Nope.
That's a shame.
They have one Thursday night game, but everyone gets a Thursday night game.
Yeah. No Sunday night?
Nope.
NBC?
Nope. They're not a primetime team, Kevin.
They're not a primetime. But I could see them being a Monday night team because they usually save, like, out of the three games, the Sunday night game's the marquee game, and then it's like Sunday, then Monday, and then the shitty one's on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, Thursdays are atrocious.
But Mondays aren't that much better lately. I mean, they're better, but like Sunday night's the marquee game.
Usually, yes.
Like, what is it? You just said, what was it? It was Bears, Chargers?
Bears, Packers.
Bears, Packers. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's
pretty sure
Packers, Vikings.
I think it's Giants Cowboys now.
Oh, it is Giants Cowboys. You're right. You're right. It is. Not 100% is Giants Cowboys. Look at this. He's got his like fold out, like those old fucking deck of cards that don't actually like separate.
It's fucking Giants Cowboys this week, Rams and Raiders on Monday night, Ravens Bengals.
At least that's a rivalry game.
You get the Jets and the Browns the week after that.
That Thursday. That is as going into the season, that's about as shitty as you could possibly imagine.
I don't know, man.
I said going into the season. But like
fucking Browns played well.
Browns played well. Roethlisberger played like absolute dog shit. Weather was awful.
He always plays like dog shit on the road.
Yeah. That's true. I won my first fantasy week.
I went 1-1. I put up 200. I got put up 200 and I got 230 put up on me.
God, who did they have?
They had almost all the guys I had in my other league.
So you won that one clearly.
Yeah, but I got my dick kicked in my league, so.
Who'd you lose to in your league?
Some guy, Doug.
Ah, Doug!
Fucking
son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Man. All right.
All right, let's hit some plugs and get the fuck out of here.
Interesting. Oh, okay. Wait, how'd you choose it? Not because of 9/11?
Yes. Yes. Go out of your way and support those that support us. We're going to start with our friends at WrestlePro, WrestlePROonline.com, at WrestlePro on Twitter, although they don't use the Twitter. They're better on Facebook, to be perfectly honest with you.
They just announced Zeus.
I know. I was getting to that.
Oh, sorry.
Friday, November 9th, the Rahway Rec Center, 275 East Milton Avenue. Joey Janela takes on Super Crazy. Scarlett Bordeaux takes on Kristen Statlander. Plus, in the house, TJ Wilson, the Nasty Boys, Duke the motherfucking Dumpster Drozzy.
What?
And
I didn't see this.
Zeus the Human Wrecking Machine will be in the house.
How are you breaking WrestlePro news to me?
I don't know. You're fucking all hungover and fucked up from yesterday, so you missed all the Facebook posts.
Man, I saw the Zeus one. That was it.
Yeah. So go over to WrestlePROonline.com. Get your tickets. The first couple rows are definitely going to sell out real fast. And you're going to want to be there to meet the Nasty Boys, Duke the motherfucking Dumpster Drozzy, TJ Wilson, and of course Zeus the Human Wrecking Machine.
Oh man, yeah, look at that.
Creative Pro Wrestling this Saturday night, all about us at the Sports Arena, 1620 Middle Country Road, St. James, New York. Dog collar match. Bear Bronson defends the championship against Johnny Clash. Plus Tennille Dashwood, Gangrel, Alex Reynolds, and more. Go to createaprowrestling.com for your information. Follow them on Twitter at CreateAPro. Smash Wrestling at Smash Wrestling on Twitter. Smash-Wrestling.com. September 23rd, they present to you London Vacation at the London Music Hall in London, Canada. Halal Beefcake takes on Dylan Andrews and his trusty sidekick. Plus PCO, Tarek, Scotty O'Shea, Kevin Blackwood, Tyson Dukes, and many more. Standalone Wrestling, StandaloneWrestling.com, at Saw Pro Wrestling on the Twitter machine. I think they're involved with that Pro Wrestling After Dark, but I'm not sure until I can figure out that they are. If they are or they aren't, that's all the plugs they get right now, just the website and the Twitter. House of Glory at HOG Wrestling on the Twitter machine, HOGWrestling.net. Chapter 3, September 22nd at the Queensboro Elks Lodge. LAX defends their tag team championships against OVE. MJF takes on Cashflow, Kenny Broadway, plus Johnny, Anthony Gongone, and Amazing Red take on Private Party and many more. And then on October 5th, Extreme Warfare. Bully Ray takes on Sammy Callahan. HOGWrestling.net for all your information. Pro Wrestling Magic at Wrestling Magic on Twitter. WrestlingIsMagic.com. Not for the innocent. September 15th at the Knights of Columbus in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Cheeseburger and Hot Dog Starks take on the American Murder Society. Catred takes on Jordan Grace for the Women's Championship. Plus, Josh Briggs, he's taking on Adam Payne for the PWM Dark Arts Championship. Arts. Say that fucking three times fast. Jesus Christ. Pro Wrestling Magic, WrestlingIsMagic.com. Battle Club Pro, X Battle Club Pro on Twitter. BattleClubPro.com, the two-year anniversary. Trial by Combat, October 20th, Knights of Columbus, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Already announced, Brody King, Jimmy Havoc, Anthony Green, Maria Maniac takes on Effie. BattleClubPro.com, don't want to make that too loud. Capital Wrestling at Capital Wrestling on Twitter, CapitalWrestling.com. As soon as they announce their next events, we will have that for you. Wrestling Has It Tomorrow at WHA Tomorrow on Twitter. WrestlingHasItTomorrow.com. SWAT 7, Sunday, September 23rd, at the Fett Music Hall. Casey Navarro, Sammy Callahan, Matt Cross, AR Fox, Brandon Watts, Bear Bronson, Ace Austin, JT Dunn takes on the biggest bitch in pro wrestling, Jessica Havoc, and much more. WrestlingHasItTomorrow.com. Limitless Wrestling, you heard tonight's guest,
Argo.
Aiden Agro. Limitlesswrestling.com. LW Main is their Twitter handle. Give them a follow. September 21st, Pretenders Beware. Ace Romero takes on JT Dunn. Josh Briggs, Brody King, Chris Dickinson, Brian Cage, Anthony Green, Colt Cabana, plus the State Main Posse.
Yes.
The Main State Posse.
The Main State Diner.
They'll be in the house. Limitlesswrestling.com. The Wrestling Revolver at PW Revolver Wrestling. ProWrestlingRevolver.com. Tales from the Ring, October 20th. West Des Moines, Iowa. Why is it so hard for me to fucking talk tonight? PCO takes on Walter, Marco Stunts in the house, Jimmy Jacobs, JT Dunn, David Starr, Trey Miguel, Rich Swan, and many more. Go to ProWrestlingRevolver.com for your tickets. Combat Zone Wrestling, CZWrestling.com, at Combat Zone on the Twitter. Innovative Pro, at Innovative Pro underscore. Innovative Pro underscore. It only takes three. Sunday, October 21st, Richfield Park, New Jersey.
Is that it?
Nick Gage, JT Dunn, Matt Tremont. The Main State Posse will be there.
That's it.
Now You Create Wrestling at NYC Wrestling, Facebook.com/NYC Wrestling. Rise Wrestling, RYSE underscore wrestling on Twitter. Saturday, October 6th, The Stronghold in Lamont Furnace, Pennsylvania. David Lawless takes on Brandon Kay in a lumberjack match and much more. RiseWrestling.com. XWA at the official XWA, theofficialxwa.com. September 22nd, Fallout.
Boy.
West Warwick, Rhode Island. Matt Cross, Brian Cage, JT Dunn, Ace Austin, Darby Allin, and more. Go to officialxwa.com for all your information. As we pull this train into the station, Kevin, I don't know if you were following much on Facebook last night, but former friend and guest of the show, not former friend, but former guest of the show, in studio guest, EC Negro is hanging him up.
I saw that.
He was supposed to have a match, I guess, this weekend with Manny Fernandez, and he went on Facebook and he put up that this was going to be his last match and he's retiring. for whatever reasons he has.
He didn't say why, if it was injury or just because.
No, I think he just decided it was time for him to move on. I don't want to speak out of turn. He put a bunch of videos up on his Facebook, and you could watch them. They're several minutes long. I think he's just looking to move on from being a performer and perhaps do some stuff behind the scenes.
Oh, okay.
Maybe me speaking out of turn.
Yeah.
But he is no longer going to be participating.
When we had him on, like before we had him on, like doing my research, you don't realize how long the guy has been around.
Right. He's been around forever.
So it's not like he's just, you know, El Rey, the king, and then like a couple years. He's been around for a very, very long time. So, I mean, if anyone has the right, I mean, anyone has the right to make that decision. But, I mean, he deserves it if he doesn't want to do it anymore, if his body can't handle it anymore, or if it's just he doesn't get the same fulfillment out of wrestling that he used to. Totally hang it up. So much respect and good luck in the future.
Yeah, so just wanted to bring that up before we signed off. Brady or Kevin, any plugs before we get out of here?
No plugs. Actually, next week we're back at the Brown Bear Pub for live comedy. We packed the place towards the end of August with Mark Norman. Absolutely packed it, so get there early. Get your seats. Get something to eat. I want to send a special happy birthday out to former guest and my co-host on the Dumbfellas podcast, KP Burke. Happy birthday, brother. Hope you are having a good time. I know you did last night, too. So, happy birthday, Burke.
Happy birthday, KP. Happy birthday to the professor. If you spent your September 11th with us tonight, thank you. Hopefully we brought some laughs and took your mind off of today.
Oh, yeah, I could have done a better job doing that now that I think about it.
It's okay.
Right.
We appreciate you guys. We hope you got through the day okay. We love you, all the listeners. Thank you guys for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to us on the way to 400.
We're getting there.
We'll be back next week with another rip-roaring Shining Rip Wizards Wrestling podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. USA, USA, USA.
Be nobleness and ever again divine. When I was in school, you know, we used to sing it something like this. Oh, beautiful. Oh, spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He crowned that good. Saved brotherhood from sea.